weather girl.
Uh-huh.
And have we got news for you.
You better listen.
Get ready, all your lonely girls, and leave those umbrellas at home.
All right.
It's raining.
Ben.
Hell to the air. That's not accurate, but yeah, it's more like, oh, yeah.
No,
it's raining Ben.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. That's a vote of confidence from Ben. The other Ben. Because today it's not just raining Ben. Oh, no. It's raining Ben and Sarah.
Gosh.
Gosharuni. Gosharimi. Gosharami. In other words. Anyway, welcome back to the show, Ben.
Yeah,
your third show.
I'm third, I'm a regular.
I know, you were about to take the crown from Sarah as the most regular performer, but then Sarah came
then
on
I'm
to
here
the show.
Again. Just to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I saw that, yeah.
You saw what he was trying to do.
On the outside.
Are you the one that said to Joe that come tomorrow because you want to hold your crown?
What's happening there is Ben is alluding to the fact that this was going to be Ben and Joe on the radio. In keeping with his current tradition of forgetting to come, Joe didn't remember to come. So, for the second time now, we're going to have a jingle with his name in, but not actually him.
It's just the illusion. It's like a drum roll to when he actually comes on. It'd be amazing then.
Oh, it could just be that he's a made-up person. Maybe there is no Joe, and this is just this sort of like Waiting for Godot kind of situation where we just keep alluding to the arrival of a person who never actually arrives.
Maybe he'll arrive with a multicolored coat.
Maybe he's... Yeah, he calls himself Joe now, he's more casual. It's not technicolored either, it's multicoloured, because we've moved forward. We don't know why he says technicolour anymore, that's old-fashioned.
Yeah.
Anyway, we should probably go to a song. What song should we go to, Ben?
Yes, I've got one.
Yeah,
Come
With Me Now.
By the Congos.
By the Congos, and that's what we want you to do on this show, ladies and gentlemen. We want you to come with us now. Not later. Now. Come with me now. With me or with us?
Me.
Me. Come with me now. Well, in that case, do come with us now. Anyway, that was the Conga people. My favourite people. So, okay, now it's time to get serious, though, guys. It's not all fun and congas and going places with people. Sometimes you need to do some serious work, and today what we're going to do is clarify a few
issues.
Yeah, exactly. One of the major issues of the day.
Let's do this.
So, I've got the usual section, which I refer to as the question section now.
Simple.
Do you know the section?
Shall
I explain how it works?
New viewers that aren't familiar with the process of the question section of the show,
right?
We should explain.
So, the jingle goes a long way to explain how it works. So I'll play the jingle and we'll see if we can get it from that. Okay, so pay attention, everyone.
Question section.
Question section.
Question section.
So you see what happens is we have questions, multiple questions, hence the three times we're saying it.
Yeah.
And what we use those questions to do is to blast apart your preconceived ideas about the world.
Open our brains up.
Exactly.
Dissect them.
Exactly, with explosives.
Ow! Gertie.
Yeah, also, Gertie is a dog. That isn't a human biting her.
There's not a fourth person on the show.
That is a dog.
There is a dog.
And also, I would like to apologise in advance. If I cough illy... I have got a cold.
It's the ill coughing. Mm-hmm. That's what's causing it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's not doing it for effect. He's not trying to get your sympathy. It's authentic coughing.
Not at all.
It's authentic.
So if you do want to give me sympathy and call in and say, poor Ben, I'm more than welcome.
But specify Ben B, because Ben A is fine. He doesn't need your sympathy.
He doesn't need any sympathy.
I am fine. No. So, first question. Is there any evidence that Hovis make bread? It's not really a question. That's just being a dick.
Well,
just being a dick to Hovis there, really. Right. Okay, new question. Who is the best Ben?
In the whole world?
It can be present company excluded if we wanted to be. Yeah, I figured that's pretty easy. Mm. But maybe we're in the running as well. I kind of feel comfortable in saying I'm probably not the best. So
I'll say you're pretty close.
You're probably the best at something.
Well, no one's really
He's the best at being Ben.
The other...
I'm best at being this Ben.
That Ben, specifically.
Quite a specific Ben, yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Benjamin Franklin, he's all right, isn't
he? A pretty good Ben.
He's all right. He got shocked.
He did.
Just for fun? For the kick?
Yeah.
He
used to pay people to jump out from behind things and give him a shock. That was his favourite hobby. He invented Halloween for that reason. And Shocktober, which is the month Halloween falls into. Little known fact. Also franking things, that was his invention, wasn't it? You know, the postage technique they use in, in large companies for franking, that was his invention.
Yeah. Is he electricity?
No, named for him, named for him. No, I was thinking maybe Ben Kingsley would be one of my...
Ben Kingsley,
he's,
yeah.
He's a good Ben.
He's pretty good.
He's a good Ben.
He's a good one. He hasn't doesn't do a lot now.
No, he seems to mostly... He's in Iron Man 3. That was an interesting thing to happen.
He was in a robot movie that no one... It was like loads about it, and then no one saw it because no one really cared.
Oh, would that be...
Sorry, Ben, if you are listening.
but no one cares. Sexy Beast was great. You were Gandhi. And it was a bit weird, admittedly, but you were Gandhi, and everyone was cool with it at the time. So, yeah, just get back to that. Go and play some more Indian people who fought white oppressors.
Has that worked for you?
I think he has a background that gives him some kind of justification for playing Gandhi. I'm not sure about that one.
Seems right.
It might have just been that it was the time they made it where it was like, yeah, well, I mean, just a little bit of makeup and, yeah, you got the right skin tone if you just bit of Bovril on there. Which of the chipmunks do you most identify with? Alvin, Simon or Theodore?
Oh, I've got this is a major one. I can identify all of them. My voice is all of them combined. Yes, this is an awesome question. This question was for me, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, actually, I was wondering if you'd know the show The Chipmunks. I wasn't sure if that would transfer across the
age. I know it. Yeah. Well, I've watched it for like 3 seconds, but it's too disturbing for me to watch because it's just things... I just realised what I sound like to everyone else.
It's a little close to home.
Yeah.
How about yourself, Sarah? What do you feel?
What? Which one is the best? I know which way
do you identify with
more. See, I feel... Was Alvin... No, Alvin's the one you're supposed to like.
Alvin's the cool kid. Simon's the nerd. And
it's
the tallest
one. Time since I saw this.
Simon's the tallest one. He's the one who's the nerdy glasses wearing one.
Yeah, nerdy. Yeah,
and Theodore's the baby.
Yeah.
That's like the sort of the little sweet one who's a bit of an idiot, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, nerdy, I guess.
You know, Simon.
Yeah, it's probably the one I'd identify with the most.
It's a similar setup in the Ghostbusters with the three main Ghostbusters. Similar
wasn't a very like stereotypical female chipmunk? Were there three female chipmunks?
Yeah, there wasn't a second. Yeah, there was a second film, believe it or not.
Oh, there's the films.
Alvin and the Chipmunks 2.
Jesus. Oh, of course,
I'm thinking of the TV series.
I'm thinking of a TV series that was played on like Saturday morning.
Is it a TV series?
Oh my lord, now I feel old.
Oh wow, I never knew that. I thought they were just two more.
Alvin, Simon, Theodore.
But
we'll play that in the next song, maybe.
Because I'm surprised I've turned into a chipmunk. Because I'm so surprised it was a TV program. This is a spin-off.
Training Chipmunks.
The radio show.
3D reboot.
Follow-up question: are the chipmunks Dave's children or his pets?
Ooh, Dave. Yeah.
Who's Dave?
Yeah, he had a strange relationship with them
in the TV show. I mean, in the film, I'm not sure.
No, I'm just gonna.
Who he lives with, basically? The chipmunks live with a human.
I'm gonna step out.
An adult male. Okay. Well, Sarah.
Yeah, because he was their... He was their father figure, wasn't he?
Sort of,
But if you... Yeah.
He put them to bed at night and read them stories and stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Bit weird, isn't it?
Which
they were chipmunks.
Is weird.
Mm.
Yeah. It's like Garfield.
Like, where did they come from?
At least in Garfield, they kind of pretend that he's a relatively normal cat. He's treated like a cat for the most part. Whereas they were talking chipmunks who had clothes and were...
And they're wild in America.
Or Stuart Little.
Stuart Little,
that's another weird one.
No, I never got clear on what Stuart Little was about. The final third question really is, who is really in control in that relationship? Is it the chipmunks or is it Dave? Because I would say probably the chipmunks would be the one who swing it.
Yeah.
But maybe that's just a statement about all childhood parental relationships.
I think it's the chipmunks. Seeing a bit of the films, I'm going to say the chipmunks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even remember
their names
Dave.
In the film, so
that's true.
It's not going to be Dave too, is it?
Well, actually, that's true. In the TV show, they are actually stars, aren't they? They're like music stars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So really, Alvin, the chipmunks can just go, fine, I'm not going to do another film, yes. Dave. your paychecks are going to stop.
Maybe Dave's the manager. Maybe that's how it works. Maybe he's just the handler.
So if
you sell weapons to military groups, should you provide a public review and rating system in the manner of Amazon or eBay? I mean, you know, you want to be buying good weapons.
eBay, because you can you can rate on everything.
You think it should
be 90% good on delivering weapons on time.
So your pro ratings for
swift delivery, excellent packaging.
Well, I mean,
would use this.
A better weapon should be better for people in the long run. I feel, you know what I mean.
Like, imagine the reviews. I was in the middle of a warfare. Mm. I needed an AK-47 fast. This.
Yeah, Amazon drone delivered. Yeah,
Amazon. Yeah, if you live in a city, you can get things delivered like the same day, can't you, with Amazon?
I've got a follow-up question.
Go on then.
If it was delivered by an Amazon drone, and it was delivering a drone, what would be deliver who? That's mental.
They take it in turns. It's when one gets tired.
The Amazon would just be like an escort, just to make sure it got there.
Who's delivering who? Maybe when we fly planes places, we're just hitching a ride. The planes want to go there. That's the future.
The pilots are just there for a free ride.
That's it. The pilot. Maybe when the planes are fully automated, it's really the planes who are going places.
Yeah, wouldn't that be lovely if all the rich people in the world with their private jets just went, you know what?
Do you need a ride?
Do you want to go?
Like blah blah car, but for planes.
Yeah.
Blah plane.
There probably wouldn't be that many spaces on the private jets. I hope not.
They're huge. They have plane-sized plane with two seats in it.
Sit on the floor.
I mean, I think there's an element there where I think quite a lot of what they want out of their private jet is the privacy. Otherwise, it would just become a jet.
Yeah, but they'd enjoy the feel-good factor as well, wouldn't they? Yeah. They'd be able to tell all their rich friends when they get to their private island that they gave.
Yeah, they'd get so much attention.
A normal person a lift somewhere.
Again, private island. I feel like I don't think what they're getting a kick out of is the opportunity around ordinary people. I think they're spending a lot of money to avoid that.
It doesn't have to be every day. It could be on a good day. But like, these people are waiting in the lobby far too long.
This morning I'm going to make a difference.
I guess it's like the secret millionaire, all that kind of stuff, isn't it? The chance for benevolent rich people to solve the world's problems.
Yeah. Well, that'd be nice.
They're not going to. So, circles or squares? This is a fast, quick-fire round. We're going to do like a...
Circles,
right, okay.
Never ending.
So circles come through that round. Cows versus trial by jury.
Cows.
Yeah, cows. It's a
lot. Cow jury?
No, can't be done. Okay. Mange 2 or sugar snap peas?
Sugar snap.
I wouldn't know because I don't know what those things are.
Sugar snap goes through by default. Mel C or Mel B? If you can remember the difference.
I was very fickle. I kept changing my mind. Mel C, I think.
Is Mel C from the Spice Girls?
She's sporty. Both. Mel B scary.
Yeah, yeah. Mel C.
So we've got sporty versus sugar snap peas.
I'm going to say sporty because I know what sporty is.
Right.
Sugar snap.
Okay, what's torn? Based on the fact you don't know what one of them is, I feel you might avoid it.
That seems fair. So, I can't really argue.
They're very good.
So sugar snap going through to the final. Now we've got circles versus cows.
Cows.
Circles.
Split. I have to make a decision deciding factor here. Okay. Circles.
Yes.
Sorry. They've got to win. They're pretty fundamental to a lot of things. So that means we've got, finally, in the final round, is circles versus sugar snap peas.
Well, circles, I don't know. Okay, let's make this fair. Someone explain to me what the other thing is.
They're those peas in the pod that you can eat raw, and they're like sweet and crunchy.
That you eat the whole pod, the whole thing.
Yeah, they look like a podded pea, but they're...
I thought that's what they're called, black potted pea.
When you eat the whole thing, when you don't pop out the peas, that's what
they're delightful.
But circles are pretty good.
Give us the wheel and things.
But peas are round and circular.
That's true.
You might get really both. We've combined both.
Sugar snap peas win. Okay, well, that's good to know.
Can I also mention am doing very well. This dog is mental.
You are doing a very good job.
Multitasking. Men can't multitask.
I mean, I think we're probably going to have to let her just roam free for the time being.
But she's so cute.
That's okay, she's going to chew in your wallet instead, that's fine. Final question. Can you imagine a world without Noel Edmonds?
Oh, I do know who he is. He's the no deal guy, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah. Well, considering he hasn't really been in my life that long, I probably can imagine.
All you have to do is consult your own life and you get a pretty clear idea. Mm.
Okay. I might shed a tear when I'm like buying something and go, deal, no deal. I might shed a tear.
So, let's go to another song, I think. I think that's the end of the question section.
Okay.
And it's time to play another song. Sarah, do you want to pick a song? Oh. Off the top of your head? First thing that comes to mind?
I know what she's thinking. I can say it for you if you really want to.
But do you have songs?
All the songs,
Do you have
all the songs?
All the songs?
All the songs.
Oh, okay.
I'm a mind reader in my part time, so I can tell what she's thinking. She's just a bit shy.
We listened to some good Elbow in the car earlier.
Yeah. Do you want some good Elbow then?
I want some good Elbow. Okay. Not just any old Elbow.
Okay, this is a song called that one has swearing in it. This is a song called The Stops by Elbow.
Oh, that's what I knew what she was thinking.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I could tell by your eyes. You could tell by her eyes that that's what she was thinking.
I can't undo the day. It won't go. Won't go under the wall. Just behind those eyes.
Coming back in off the back of an Elbow song. Very nice little song there from Elbow.
Elbow.
Elbow. Yeah. That's how it's pronounced. You know, like Bjork is pronounced Björk.
Yeah.
It's actually pronounced
Do
Elbow.
I think that's how the fans pronounce it.
Well, as a fan.
Go, Melbourne!
Exactly. When you're. Oh, well done, dog. She's chewing the mic stand. You'll have authentic dog sounds in the broadcast. So, we need a topic now. And the topic is going to be provided by.
Ben.
By Ben. So I have a jingle which I usually use to introduce these things. It's called Single Use Jingle, and I'll play that right now.
I'm no singer, but I can sing a single use jingle.
And now I also have a jingle, which is specifically a single use jingle. That's why that previous jingle introduces this jingle. However, this jingle is not accurate because it refers to the fact that Joe is here, which he isn't. So as long as you're okay with being Joe, Sarah, I can play this jingle.
Modern world. Go for it.
Is that okay?
Yeah, okay. I guess. Go on. Ben, 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 Ben,
Ben, Ben, Ben, Ben,
Ben, Ben, Ben, Ben, Ben, Ben, Ben, Ben, Ben, Ben, Ben,
Ben, Ben, Ben, Ben,
But apart from that, it's great.
Okay.
Maybe every show you should just like put in the background. Maybe Sarah.
potentially Sarah.
Future-proof my jingles. That's not a bad idea, actually.
Just at the very end. Just put, maybe Sarah if none of them turns up. You know, at the end.
Or just start leaving people's names out, maybe. Yeah. Just make ambiguous ones that don't necessarily tell you who's. Yeah, just like general.
Who's it going to be?
Well, no. Make it sound like I know, but just refer to someone in a way that is so ambiguous that it could be anyone. Like. Oh. You're so great. You're on my show.
Yeah.
Now it's time to talk some more.
You've got hair. And a mouth.
That can be some offensive though.
Ben Tanner doesn't have much hair. Yeah, Ben Tanner's got very little hair. And he can be on the show at some point.
Love you, Ben Tanner.
Shout out to Ben Tanner. That's a good little shout out there for people who don't know who he is. But now you do.
Yeah, there's another Ben, believe it or not.
There is a third Ben.
He likes to collect Ben.
One day we'll have a Ben show. Anyway, sorry, that was introducing a topic. Ben, hit us up with a topic.
Well, when I first came on the radio show, I had a debate, bike or car. Very exciting topic, viewers. But not viewers, listeners. Even. If you can see us, it's a bit creepy.
It's wearing our house.
You can see us in their minds. So they can imagine just what we look like.
At the time, I think I said bike was have a bike. Still have a bike, be pleased to know. But I'm getting a car.
Okay, so things have changed.
They have changed things drastically. Have changed.
Well, it's the opposite, in fact.
Because I've ridden through the winter, and I can safely report it's not okay.
No, it's not okay. I know. I didn't want to tell you at the time. I felt like it was bad to rain in your parade. But as a ex-biker, I can agree wholeheartedly. It's a terrible thing. Yeah, have a bike if you live in Italy and want to buzz around on the streets of Rome and be like, ciao, ciao, bella. But if you live in the UK...
I do that anyway.
Well, that's true, you can do that. I mean, when you're wearing a full face mask and on a motorbike, it's less effective. People don't really get what's happening.
It's a bit creepy, if anything.
Well, they can't hear you over the bike and the face.
Not if you happen to... Not happen if you say it to an Italian on the street. He's like, yeah. My hometown.
You have to, like, stop, turn the bike off, open the mask. Ciao, bella.
I've always been jealous of the people that have, like, the full face, but then they just lift up the whole bottom part.
I had that going on. I was that guy.
Oh. Yeah.
It was pretty sweet. I had a little thing where you flicked a little switch and sunglasses switched down.
Oh, I've got
that. That's pretty sexy.
That's pretty sexy.
I felt like a biking god who wasn't very cool because I rode a little toy bike. But anyway, yes. The only issue I have with this, Ben, I have to be honest, is that what you've done is you've undermined the principle of the show, which is that you make completely concrete forever after decisions about things. And now what we're doing is going back on something.
Are you going to do a future one, which is like, where are they now?
We take it back.
Based on, catching up in the future.
It undermines the authority of completely unmovable decisions, such that we make on IRB. Mm-hmm. And if we were to follow up even maybe an hour ahead of time, I think we'd find that most of us had changed our minds, because none of us really believe anything we're saying. Shouldn't have said that. I'm undermining myself now. I'm being drawn into your web of undermining.
We do in the present.
That's true.
Yes.
That's what this show's about.
Can I actually use this opportunity to advertise that I'm selling my bike? Listeners. Anyone's interested?
Yeah.
Nowhere to find me.
Come to the Barrel House. Ask for Ben.
Come to the Barrel House.
And you'll get one of the three
you'll
of us.
You'll get three of us.
Yeah.
But the tallest one.
Yeah.
And the one with this voice. I mean, you'll hear me before you see me, probably. This is what everyone keeps telling me. And the slightly camp one. Again, another character trait I have is that I'm slightly camp, which is a bit frustrating, but I've just accepted it now. So I just...
It's okay.
I just live in it now.
It's okay. Women will find you unthreatening and thereby
approach
you. Oh,
they do.
And
but they also think I'm...
And the last second, you'll be like I'm straight, take that.
Yeah. Normally, I have to announce that, like, I
have a similar life. It's okay. You just find the weird ones, like this one over here.
Yeah.
Hello.
Exactly.
It's brilliant when you find two women at the bar and they say to each other, one of them you know as a friend, they're like, oh, he thinks you're really camp. Am I meant to find that adorable? No, not at all.
Yeah, it is easy to own that when you're in a relationship. It's less fun when you're single. Fortunately, now in a relationship, you get to just live it up.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, sort of, yeah, I'm so camp.
You'd just be even more camp.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes I can make it jealous with other guys. Well, hey, that's the challenge.
I mean, I'm pretty sure Sarah, as someone who experienced that in her life, it's great, isn't it?
What?
When you worry about your boyfriend going off with boys.
Yeah.
It's one of your favourite things.
Yeah.
So
let's talk about that more.
Not me, incidentally, listeners. But you never know.
This has been
keeping you on your toes there.
Thanks, I'll look forward to that.
To being kept on
just
the toes.
Just so you know.
Just so you know.
This is a literal train of thought, isn't it?
I know. We don't.
We've got from bikes
this is non-topic
to being camp.
We are in conversational mode because we're in my house rather than a radio studio. The level of focus is way, way below where it normally is. Let's have a song. What's the song called, Ben?
Believer. By Imagine Dragons.
Ooh, nice. Ooh. I can imagine dragons.
It's also got the actor... What's his name? Dolph Lundgren?
Lundgren.
Yeah, he's got in it. It's brilliant.
He's in the...
Watch the music video.
I was going to say, not in the song, presumably.
No. No. Oh, no, he has a little speech.
Does he?
Because it's all about... Well, you'll find
I'm
out,
I'm looking forward.
Viewers.
Here we go. Can you imagine this? Imagine Dragons. First things first. We're back. We are back, it's true. So, you listen to It's Raining Ben, a show where we try and, you know, find answers to things. Problems, in fact. That's the thing to find answers for, isn't it? I'm here with Ben.
Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ben. I'm here with Sarah as well.
Hi, Ben.
Hi, Sarah. well, accuracized. So, I thought we could talk about now is... I'm aiming to. It's on the back burner right now, but I'm aiming to start a club. Another one. I like starting clubs. I already have a moon club. But I thought I'd also have a thing called the Crap Culture Club, or KKK, if you will.
Ooh.
What's the problem with that?
KKK.
Yeah.
It's K.
It's things with K's at the beginning are more cool. If you can use a C, but if you use a K, it's
cooler.
But
a certain big group in America thought that as well.
Exactly, and they did very well for it.
They're very well known.
They're very popular now. Well.
Very popular. Yes.
They seem to have kind of like moved
Doing
into that
well
big house
themselves.
In Washington. Yeah. So, satire. Boom. Yeah, I'm taking it down. Thank God I'm here. Otherwise, everything would be falling
they
to pieces.
They had to build bigger doorways because the triangle costumes couldn't get... they were just walking around.
In your mind, they weigh giant triangle costumes.
Yeah.
It makes it hard to chase after people. I think if you got on a horse with a giant triangle costume, I mean, just the wind resistance would be... I guess you could be triangular, forward-facing, and then it'd be very good for wind dynamics.
Oh, all the things they could have chosen. It's not very practical, is it?
No, but it's pretty scary. The thing is that it's also a Catholic thing. They do it in Italy. I think it's Italy. It could be Spain. I'm pretty sure it's Italy. In a few places, actually. They do a thing of the Night of something or other where everyone walks down the streets with...
it could be Spain.
With the crosses with those pointy hats on.
It could be Spain.
It's probably a few places. It might be just old school Catholicism.
I think it's just Catholic, yeah. Mm. But like in the... Not in the burning house.
Yeah, no,
right?
in a cheerful way, but it's freaking terrifying.
Is that Semana Santa they have it?
That sounds right. That sounds like a yes, of course, we should explain the fact that Ben is part Spanish. He is Espanol. He is a... what's that word? He's a senor?
Senor, yeah.
Senor.
That's me.
So
senor Barel.
Much more diluted.
That's true. Sarah's a bit Spanish.
Are you?
My mum's half Spanish, yeah.
Oh, well, she's more Spanish than me. I've just... Well, yeah, you've got Spanish blood.
I do.
Hiding. I've just lived there 12 years.
Hiding there. Oh, okay, yeah, no. I'm leaning back too far. Yeah, I've got a bit of Spanish blood.
Oh, mm. Combine this
blood. Sloshing around...
Anyway, yeah. What I was going to say was
sloshing.
The comedy culture club.
Comedy?
No.
Crap.
The crap culture club, which hopefully will exist at some point in the future, was founded on the idea that it's enjoyable to partake in bad culture, not boringly bad, and not sort of like sickeningly bad, but more like entertainingly bad. There's a big fashion for these films online. I mean, things like The Room. With Tommy Wiseau and Birdemic. These are some classics out there. But also just, you know, just dumb action films, all these kind of things. Mm-hmm. But William Shatner doing music. There's a lot of stuff like this. And I was just curious if you had any thoughts on why it is enjoyable to enjoy crap culture. Why is watching a bad film good?
Because one of probably many theories is that if your life's quite stressful... Like, I always say to everyone, I quite like Transformers, or Fast and Furious, and everyone goes, oh, why? But...
Shia LaBeouf, that's the answer.
Yeah. But if you've got, like, if whatever you've got going in your life, sometime it's just nice to sit in front of a film and not care and not think. Sit in front of it and just go, eh.
But I don't know, is there a line between popcorn culture, which is, like, fairly mindless but sort of... well executed, because the Transformers is pretty, like, you know, they've put a bit of money into that, versus the kind of thing of somebody who has no clue what they're doing, trying their darndest to make something good but stupendously failing. You know, like the classic old school horror movies where they were made for like £12 and all the actors are god awful and the plot makes no sense and the monster looks like it was made by us in an afternoon with some plasticine, and like the fact that they're, I don't know what it is. There's something about those kind of things that is compelling.
Is it like Sharknado?
Well, that whole trade that's built up is trying to deliberately make films like that.
Deliberately bad.
Exactly, yeah, okay. Which is the interesting thing. No, that's the interesting thing. They've recognized that there is that market, and now they're actually deliberately making films for it.
You don't want to be disappointed, do you?
Ah, that's interesting.
Yeah, if you watch. A action film, unless it's really bad, but like the big, if it's a single, alone, cheap action movie, everyone guaranteed will be really disappointed. But I bet if you had the exact same stunts in that action movie in a big franchise like Fast and Furious, they've got cars falling out of a plane, for God's sake, everyone's like, wow, that's amazing. But if you saw those exact stunts in the stand with no one's heard of the actors, no one's heard of the director, nothing. Mm-hmm. Everyone be like, that's just not realistic.
That's a reasonable complaint. I mean, Transformers alone needs to answer some really big questions. Yeah. I mean, why? They're biological machines, so they're alive and they can transform, but they only transform into one thing.
They're useless cars. Why would you transform yourself?
Why would you not always be a plane? They can be planes, but they're always cars. It's like, that's quite limited. You need like a really good road surface.
He's a truck. Exactly. Why would you want to become a truck?
So little maneuverability.
And imagine his followers. One of them's a Camaro. He can probably just overtake that truck.
One of them's a...
he has to follow him.
One of them's a boombox. That's a pretty good one.
Oh, yeah.
One of them's actually for playing cassettes in, which I presume another transformer must be a cassette. One of them's a gun for another one to hold. Imagine that being your life. Imagine that.
That's be like, sad.
Could you just make a gun? Do I have to use me? Can't I transform into something cooler? Is that you pretending to be the gun?
Got an actual dent.
I was trying to make that fit into the show, but you didn't.
Sorry, it's too distracted.
So, what about your thoughts, Sarah?
Well, if something's bad enough to be good, I'm trying to decide when it works. If a film sets out to be so bad it's good.
For me, it doesn't.
Or whether it only qualifies as being so bad it's good when the intention was to be good, but it turned out.
I think you need to see the desire to succeed in the eyes of the people making it. I think if you see
lack sincerity, I guess, maybe.
Exactly.
If it
If you see them not caring, then you see just generally a bad movie.
Mm.
It's why Nicolas Cage succeeds in rubbish, because he gives his all in a very knowing way often. Mm. But he doesn't just take the money and run. He's like, you know, I know this is a god-awful film. He probably knows. But does he give his all? Yes, he does. The Wicker Man is a good example. That's a lot of all.
Yeah, people need to be enjoying it and believing in it, I think, themselves, don't they? The actors and stuff, for it to work.
But that's why every cinema release is now a reboot, a prequel of a sequel of a prequel, because they're guaranteed winners.
I see the lack of disappointment thing is a nice idea. Like the fact that, in some ways, if you're watching something where you're not expecting to be blown away, you're not going to be disappointed.
It's like going to Wetherspoons.
Yeah, you know what you're getting.
Exactly. Sometimes you don't want to be surprised.
Mm.
You just
I disagree, because I think the mark of a good bad thing is the surprise, is the fact you're watching it and you're like, wow, how did this get made? Who made this? Who wrote that script? Why did that person do that thing? And that's what's going on?
What about talking through bad things? That's a whole different thing, of course. You can watch like a bad thing and just watch it like you would watch a normal film and then discuss it afterwards, or you can go through the kind of running commentary,
that's true,
critical thing the whole way through, which is its own.
It's a social entertainment. That's true. It's a social thing.
It's like looking at an Indian menu and you see the most standard, I know it's a stretch, but I'm gonna do it.
No, go with it.
You see like a standard Indian curry that everyone's heard of, or something that no one's heard of. People go for the curry that they've heard of because they can't be asked to
take a risk.
Maybe that's why maybe us in the crap culture club, which I will one day form, are going to be the ones who choose that weird curry.
And maybe
that's what we are. For the one who chooses the weird curry, crap culture club.
And maybe another reason why we like standard films is because all the actors are so famous, they go on chat shows and you feel like you don't know them at all, but when they smile on the chat show and go like, oh, with a big American egos, they go, oh, they're such a nice guy, I'm gonna watch the film, I know them. And they're all their Instagram posts, so you feel like you know them. If you've known an actor that you
that's
don't really
point,
know
yeah. Maybe
a lot,
well, they're your mates, yeah, like you feel like you have some connections. It's like watching your friends make a film. Which again is part of maybe the problem of the charm of watching crap films in the style of the Room, for example, is that Tommy Wiseau is now about as big a character as any Hollywood star in the eyes of people who like bad things. He's become this worth looking into. If people don't know who he is, check out Tommy Wiseau and check out The Room. It's a thing to behold, as is one I've just discovered actually the other day, which I've forgotten the name of now. What's it called? Fateful Findings. It's on YouTube. Ooh. Yes, please watch that. I'll put a clip in a minute.
Is that a film?
Yeah, we'll listen to a clip of that next, actually, rather than a song. That's a good idea. Should we go to that now? Should we go to a clip from Fateful Findings?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do that.
Jim! Call 911! Jim! How could you have done this? Jim! I can't believe you committed suicide. I cannot believe you committed suicide. How could you have done this? How could you have committed suicide? I can't help you out of this one, Jim. With all we've been through, I can't pull you out of this one.
So I hope you enjoyed that, and I hope you will go out and find the film, Fateful Findings. If you can buy it on DVD, do. It's quite hard to find, and it'll probably quite worth some money at some point. But
or just download it illegally. Or go onto YouTube.
Yeah, I don't think it's probably got a very wide distribution on DVD right now.
That's probably the best review they'll get. Someone's put the time and effort to download it illegally. Oh,
it's become a bit of a cult thing. I think it's already on its way to being a big success story. Tommy Wiseau does like talks. He like made a lot of money out of making the world's most ridiculed film.
That's not fair, is it?
He's quite happy, because otherwise what was more likely and probably more just, if the world was a fairer place, would be that everyone ignored him and said, no, Tommy, no.
So that means
said, yes, Tommy, yes.
That means he is doing it purposely.
No, it was...
If he's making money out of making bad films.
Well, he's obviously got on board. I mean, there's the film about him with James Franco now, playing him.
You're kidding?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, about him making The Room. It's a film about making The Room. I know, the world's swallowing itself.
Do you think that's what... Going back to the conversation previously, do you think that's what it's going to become? Just like Planet of the Apes, there's about a million of them. Star Wars, do you think it's going to become how we made it?
Films about making the films. And you make films making those films, and then why you make you know like, one film? Then every film could be about making the previous film.
It's like the end of a documentary of David Attenborough. I always want to know how they film them filming it. Where can there be video diaries?
There we go. I would watch that. You're right. I agree. Why then? When they do that thing where like there's. You know, there's someone doing something amazing, but there's obviously like a lot more people filming that person doing something amazing. I always feel like, that, you know, like Top Gear or whatever it is like, oh, they're driving through a desert. It's like, yeah, but so is an entire camera crew.
Yeah.
That's actually probably more impressive rather than the guys in the cars
like
doing
it. Like a convoy.
There's like a whole freaking production team doing it as well.
It's like the illusion was completely ruined when we went to Argentina. Mm. I was like, oh, that's an Arctic going through. Wow!
If the illusion can be ruined about Top Gear, then the world will be a better place. So, we need to get into the world of Shia LaBeouf. Need to get right in there.
The new one's quite good.
I've avoided it because I've got
negative associations.
What's it? I can't change my point of view now.
Matt LeBlanc's Joey from Friends, though. So.
I do like old Joes. Old Josie. He's very good in episodes. There you go. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I can say. Top Gear can go and suck a bean. So, should we enter the world of... I should introduce this to anyone who hasn't heard this before. We do a role-playing game, and continuously evolving role-playing game, where Shia LaBeouf is a cannibal, and whoever happens to be on the show takes on the role of the main character or characters, trying to escape him, and now actually try and save him. That's what's happened. Oh. It's gone that direction now.
I need a little bit of a catch-up.
Well,
yeah, me too.
What I'm going to do is basically not do the catch-up, because it was getting to the point where it was about six pages long, and I thought I'm going to go with the most recent pertinent information.
Yeah,
I realise that makes
fine.
More sense.
Am I
still on his leg hair?
No, things have moved on since then.
Okay, cool.
I've had two stories since then.
Okay, cool.
So, here we go. Last time we met, our heroes had journeyed across South Devon to the ancient woolen town of Buckfastleigh. Here they hoped to find the mysteriously unnamed man who had mysterious keys to unlocking the mystery of Shia LaBeouf's devastating cannibalistic new style. And find him they did, in a church by the name of St. Simeon Stylites and no other saints. Good church. Real saint. Not a real church. His name was Father John Daddy, and on convincing him of your good intentions towards Shire, he shares the information he has. You discover that Shire is given a bath of homeopathic wormwood while staying at the resort for alternative medicine run by malfunctioning robots, and this turned him so bitter he began to eat people. That's the new information you need to know, guys. Just as your conversation began to get interesting, the 17-foot-tall Shia LaBeouf arrived and started hammering on the walls of the church. You attempted to heal him with holy water by having a magical vicar called Jill, who's with you, she's magic. She turned the church's font into a swimming pool, but to no avail. Shia came on. With no alternatives left to pursue, you exit the church and fled with Father John Daddy and the magic vicar Jill. And at this moment, you're running through a graveyard.
Cool.
Running away from that church where Shia LaBeouf is inside, doing his usual damage.
How does he fit in the church if he's 17 foot tall?
Well, they have those big doors with doors inside doors.
Oh, okay, sure.
They are quite true.
Just a technicality I wanted to get.
No, it's good to clear things up.
Proceed.
It's all in the detail.
Okay, cool.
What do you want to do?
Could we hop on the little steam train that goes from Buckfastleigh, maybe? That would get us somewhere quicker than just fleeing on foot, wouldn't
it? True.
I mean, but in a scenic fashion.
You still have a monster truck outside that you arrived in, but...
I didn't know that.
No, but that does mean moving back towards the...
Can we be a bit disrespectful about when there's dead people? We don't want to run over them.
Yeah.
We don't want to move back towards... If you move back towards the church, you might be forced to be endangering yourself, whereas it's true the steam train would be a continuous movement away.
Yeah.
So it's a bit boring, but you want the adrenaline rush of the monster truck. Come on.
See, I didn't know there was a monster truck.
There's a debate here. I mean, it's up to you. You can do what you like. If you want to go back to your monster truck, you can.
It's parked outside the church.
It is. You can take the risk.
I'm going to go with monster truck.
Right. Cool. Okay.
You take the risk and succeed. You're in the monster truck. Where do you want to go?
Nice.
It can just be away.
We don't want to go towards, do we?
Well, do you?
Unless we can. Have we tried running him over with the monster truck yet?
You haven't, no, it's true, you haven't. He's 17 foot tall, but you haven't driven him over.
I'm trying to visualise that. I've not ever actually
seen
the monster
truck. It's probably about the same height as a monster truck.
We could do that classic movement from like Star Wars where they put rope like on the back.
Right.
Well, because we have rope at the back of the monster truck, yeah. Because every yeah. monster truck has rope, obviously.
Yeah.
So we tie it to the tow bar.
An athlete, or is it the one, the 80 something or other? The four legged fellow.
Yeah, the four legged fellow.
The four legged fellow.
The metal cat.
Yeah.
The.
I never thought about that, you're right. It was a metal cat.
So with extremely long legs. Anyway, so we do that. And then we magically attach to one of his legs and go round and round and round. Of which, in okay. time, will make Sheila very dizzy.
Right. So we're going to attempt this idea. Do you have any rope?
Yeah, it's just yes. in the back of the truck.
Apparently
yes.
we do, yes.
Yeah,
we
do. Do you want to have a look?
Yes, we do.
No, we're having a look.
No, I think we just know that yeah, we have rope.
That's not how it works, but I'm going to be kind and say you find okay. some rope in the back of the truck. Because, you know.
I oh, no, no, okay. I can make it
seem very confident.
I can make it simpler for you. I can make it simpler. We get the rope from the bell tower.
That's so actually, you're actually going to go back into the church.
Into the church, yeah, because I've like.
Well, do you want to? Maybe you could get some advice from the head of the church, Father John Daddy.
What, like, where's the bell, please?
Well, he was ringing the bell when you arrived and talked to him in the previous episode, so he does know it's his church. If anyone's going to help you around the church,
I mean, do we have to ask permission for the rope?
No, some help.
You.
Because there's currently a cannibal in there.
You can drive the monster truck around the church, distract the giant. I'll stay in the church.
That's clever.
Okay.
And then with the
Pope. He won't notice because, that would have multiplied.
Yeah.
Okay, that's clever.
And then I say, where's the bell? He goes, over here. Right. I run to the bell.
Right.
Grab the rope.
So you're splitting into two teams. You're going to have Sarah and Jill in the truck. Jill drove the truck here. She's very good at it.
Oh, cool.
And you and Father John Daddy, or just Father as he prefers to be called, are going to go back in. Right? Okay, right.
And then we get the rope. Oh, I've got a plot twist.
Let's get in there. So you start off driving around, okay.
Yep.
You approach, which way are you going to try and get into the church? You can ask for advice again if you like, of course.
Front door, because I'm hiding just behind the door.
Okay. So you're going to go confident, he wouldn't see it coming.
Straight to the front door. No, because he storms out because he hears the monster.
Right. Okay.
So he thinks I'm in the
church. Oh, because you're waiting until he leaves the church. Yeah. Right, this is clever.
She's a distraction.
So I'm Sarah, distracting him.
Sarah, take off, go.
We are distracting him. Jill is a mean driver.
Be distracting then.
She's got her foot down.
Be distracting.
Vroom, vroom. Beep, 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 beep. We're honking the monster.
No, just lean back from the microphone and carry on doing that. For some background
Always
context.
Too
lean back. No, lean back. Now, come on, do some more.
Beep, beep, okay. beep, vroom.
Right, so.
Vroom, Jill, go faster.
Shia hears the very distracting noises being made by the very distracting women in the monster truck. And comes hurtling out of the church. looking furious and hungry. He came all the way from the resort to Buckfast. It was quite a long way, so he's looking very hungry. He starts pursuing the monster truck. Fortunately, he's not faster than it, so it's okay. What do you do?
I ask... What's his name? Daddy? John Daddy?
Father is what
Father Daddy.
Because he's a priest.
I ask him, where's the bell? And he says, over there. But he says, wait.
No, you have to talk to him.
Okay. I say, where's the bell? He goes, over
there. The bell is over there, sir. In the bell tower.
Okay. I begin to run, but he grabs my arm.
You can't tell me what I have to tell you.
Okay.
You can say what you do.
Okay. Right. I begin to run to the bell.
Right, okay.
Do not be so hasty, my boy. Do not be so hasty. If you go in there, you will surely die.
Then I go, well, why?
Actually, I haven't thought it through. Let's go!
So you run towards... Both of you are going to run towards... Okay, you run towards... You get to the bell tower. I'm guessing he said, I know what we're doing, boy. I'll go ahead. He runs up a staircase and starts undoing the rope. It's quite a tricky knot. It's going to take him a few minutes. What do you do?
I'll just ponder around.
Okay, you ponder around. Just check out.
Wait.
Yeah, just have a little potter.
Wait, yeah. I've had a very stressful day. Need a little sit down.
Let me flip through the Bible, see if there's anything in there.
Anything useful.
Yeah.
Any advice?
Do you find anything useful in the Bible?
Well,
probably not for
not
the current
really,
situation.
Not really,
not
really. Not
for this
really.
Exact situation. That's
no, incomplete. It's really evolution. This is what Sheila Buffiz is, evolution. God doesn't really disagree with
you. You have discovered that magic is part of this world, so I mean, all bets are off, really.
Not God magic.
Though. Anyway, you succeed in untying the rope.
Grab the rope.
Right.
Oh, yeah, how am I going to get back in the monster truck?
Okay.
Oh, dear.
Next part of the plan, didn't think it through.
No.
Sarah, you're in your world. Cut to Sarah's world. Camera shift. What's happening in your world?
I'm not driving. Jill's driving.
Right, Jill's driving.
I'm hanging out of the window, looking out for Ben coming out of the church with the rope.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You out of the church yet? Is he out of the church?
Yeah, yeah, I'm
so
out of the church.
So you just dashed out of the church. Right. Well, we're going to have to wait for him. But no, we just slow down to like a pace that he can jump in.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, so.
I jump in.
You jump in.
And okay. Father's fairly old, so he's on my back.
Yeah, okay.
Manning along, because you know, definitely leaving behind.
Right, yeah, like Yoda.
Yeah, like exactly.
You are the Luke
like
to his
that.
Yoda, yeah.
So I jump in the monster truck.
Right.
Everything's cushy. Still right. Going round and round.
He's not very bright. Really? At some point, Guy does try to do that thing where he turns around and runs back the other direction, but you see that coming, so you just turn around as well. It's turning into Laurel and Hardy at this point.
So then we just attach the rope right. to the tow bar. It's a very right. sturdy tow bar.
It's a very sturdy rope too, yeah.
He climbed out and like over the truck and like to do that.
We're mm-hmm. getting a bit of Indiana Jones in here as yeah. well. It's like a Harrison Ford crossover situation.
Fast and Furious style.
You are both Luke Skywalker and Harrison Ford and Indiana Jones in this situation.
Yeah. I mean, there's four of us.
You're Leia,
so
you're okay too. You're not boring.
We've got help.
Okay. Hey, you've got powers. It's not really said in the franchise, but you have got powers.
Yeah. Jill is Chewbacca. And thinking that probably father is, well, it's fairly obvious he's Obi-Wan Kenobi. So,
Kenobi.
Moving on.
Yeah.
That's why your dog's like this, in a perfect representation of the voice of dead actor Alec Guinness.
Oh,
it's not.
Good.
That was. It would have been a lovely coincidence. So.
Well, he's in the graveyard.
Okay.
So.
go.
And then I lasso right the rope.
Okay.
That's the rope's end. Where can I attach it?
Are we going for a leg to trip him up? Are we dragging
but
him?
But how do I lasso it around the leg?
Yeah, that's sort of tricky.
You can lay it on the floor. I shouldn't be in touch.
On the floor for him to... Because really, I feel like maybe we should have tied it around his leg and then come and...
That's quite hard. He's a cannibal. He's a giant cannibal.
He's running. We don't want to get that close to you, really. That'd be dangerous. Just like round his wrist, maybe? Maybe he can like...
No, but he, because he's so stupid, we've gone round the church and we've actually caught up with him.
I see.
But he's just... We were actually behind him.
It's clever.
So not, I just get on the bonnet bright. And just like tie just, it around his leg.
Yeah. Okay, it's good. So you
just very gently.
You match his pace precisely, and you're like a pickpocket with a rope.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You
very subtly.
Okay. You gently lasso his leg. Okay, cool.
Okay.
Now what?
And then the priest calls out and says,
"What do you want him to ask him to? Ask him to. What do you want him to say?"
Well, I was going to go for a plot twist, what the father says.
Well, okay.
But you don't know what my plot twist is.
I'll allow it. Go for it.
The father shouts out, "Shia, I am your father."
I'll let him.
And that...
"Shia, I am your father."
That shocks him into stopping very kindly. And we stop, obviously, we don't crash into him. And then...
That would be mean.
And then...
Tell Jill to stop.
Jill, stop.
Oh, okay.
She stops.
Stops, and we all look at Father in shock. Like, how could you create such a beast? You were a bad father.
I mean, this would make a lot of sense based on the fact that he wanted to help Shia, whereas most people wouldn't want to help him.
Yeah, we all wondering like,
guilt.
Why?
Father guilt.
If only I'd thought of this, I could have been a better storyteller.
Absent.
And on that bombshell, to use the Top Gear reference, call back. We finish our episode for today.
Oh, I love it.
Good work, people. Good work. Good Sorry. Work. I think that'll go down into the next episode, giving the next person a very strong fighting chance of doing something powerful.
Well, they're now, in a truck, lassoed him.
They've lassoed him. They've surprised him and themselves.
Yep.
And they've got a monster truck and a rope and a Shia LaBeouf attached to them.
They're a little team of four figure. Now. Four of them.
This is getting big. We'll have to get four people on the show next week to play all the characters realistically. Yeah. That'd be more interesting.
Yeah, then they could interact a bit more rather than real-time interaction.
So, I'm afraid we have to wrap up because we've got to go and have a meeting.
Very busy people.
Busy people.
I'm pretty chill.
You can come to the meeting if you like.
Yeah.
Chuck any 2 cents. You could be our, what's the word? What's the thing we get people to come and say things who aren't involved? Consultant. You could be our consultant. You're not actually involved in it, but you're freelancing.
I can do that.
You bring your opinion.
Mm-hmm. If there's any awkward silences, I'll just fill it.
Exactly. I'll say, I want to get Ben's view on this. Ben, what do you think? Just give you 2 cents. Just like, you know, shake it up, see what you think, you know. Give it a new style. Look at it from a new angle. New pair of eyes. Fresh legs. Fresh hasty legs. Hands. Round mouth.
I could do the lawyer thing. But no, the Hollywood actors, what do you call them? The people that run the managers.
Oh, I see.
Like, I love it, love it.
Okay, that's true. Yes.
Not in that accent, obviously.
So you're just the yes man.
Yeah, I'm just like the yes man, even if it's a really rubbish role.
I brought my own yes man, just so my ideas sound like the best ideas in this meeting.
I love it, Ben. I love it.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
And on that note, can I get a little positive feedback for this show? How was the show, Ben?
Awesome.
Great. Sarah, how was it?
Beautiful.
No, I was hoping you'd be like the counterpoint.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Oh, could do better.
There we go. I need to be kept
grounded. Always room for improvement.
I need to be kept grounded. So thank you for listening, guys. And we'll catch you next week for more rain and more people and more Ben.
Should be flooding by now, really.
Less Ben,
it?
Actually. Less Ben than today. Less Ben.
At least 50% less Ben next time, I
potentially.
Think.
Yeah, but now there's a third Ben, so that's like 25%.
You never know. We'll try and keep the Ben levels high.
It's true.
Anyway, thank you very much.
No worries.
Yeah.
See you in a bit, probably.
Yeah.
I want to take our crown. I want to be here the fourth time.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. That's true. That's competition
rate. Competition, yeah.
Tune in next week to see what happens. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.